to welcome.
Now shall we turn, please, to three scriptures. The first in the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 18. And reading verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and sent him in the midst of them, and said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The second scripture in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And reading verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord unto not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show to us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. A final scripture in the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 28 and verse 27. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So once again, the Lord will bless to us these readings from his precious word. I'd like to talk to you this morning on a very important subject, the subject of conversion. Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, except ye be converted and become like a little child, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here we have conversion demanding. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9, their conversion demonstrated they turned to God from idols. Sad to say, in Acts 27, their conversion despised. Conversion. I delivered this message some years ago down in Newport Richey. Little girl said to her dad, who is one of America's great computer experts, I'd like to go to a Sunday school. He said, a Sunday school? Yes, I'd like to go to a Sunday school. So the nearest Sunday school was Bible Truth Chapel in Newport Richey. And he took his little girl, put her in the Sunday school, and he sat in at the Bible hour. And I spoke on this subject, conversion. And he said, the way you rolled the letter R, conversion, he said, it shook me right to my very boots. The next day, he came to Christ. He came to the Savior, he was converted. He lived in a very exclusive neighborhood in Newport Richey, very wealthy neighborhood, twin-engine plane in his garage as well as cars. And so he invited his neighbors, mostly Jewish people, something wonderful has happened to me, I'd like to share it with you, come for a breakfast. They expected that he made another $1 million. And so they came. Quite a large group of his neighbors. And so I thought I would aim at these very, very wealthy Jewish people. So I took up Abram's servant saying to Rebekah, Wilt thou go with this man? Thought of bringing a message about the Lord Jesus, will you go with this man? I'm aiming at these wealthy Jewish people. But in the audience was a little girl, a teenager, from the land of India. And at the end of the meeting, she says, "Sir, I would like to be converted." See, I'm aiming at the Hebrews, the Jewish people, and God in His mercy came in and saved a lovely girl from the land of India. Salvation is of the Lord. Conversion. Lord Tweedsmuir, I knew his cousin in the assembly in Toronto, Canada. And Lord Tweedsmuir said that conversion is the greatest experience that a person can ever have. So friend, if you've never been converted, you are missing the greatest experience that a person can ever have. Lord Tweedsmuir, John Buchan was his name, Lord Tweedsmuir came from Scotland, Governor General Canada. Conversion is man's greatest experience. So here in Matthew 18, we have conversion demanded. But first of all, we must observe the speaker. If this was the Apostle Paul, that would be a very authoritative message. The Apostle to the uncircumcision, to the Gentiles, but it's not the words of Paul. Had this been the language of the Apostle Peter, the Apostle to the circumcision, the Jewish nation, that would be a very authoritative message. The friend, the speaker, is the Lord Jesus. And when He speaks, we should give a ready ear to what He has to say, the speaker. Notice again, the subject. The subject is conversion. Not rehabilitation, not reform, but it's regeneration. It's a change of life brought about by the forgiveness of sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration. And Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Regeneration. That's the subject. What is conversion? Well, first of all, conversion is a change of direction. Direction. The Lord Jesus reminded us in Luke 13 about two gates, two roads, two kinds of people, and two destinations. The Lord says, try to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to heaven. Few there be that find it. Two gates, two roads, two kinds of people, and two destinations. It's a change of direction. When you and I were born into this world, we were born on a road, going further and further away from God. Going down, down, down. But conversion brings about a change of direction to a narrow road that leads to heaven. So the termini is either hell or heaven, and the speaker is Jesus. And it is strive to enter. It will cost you something to say no to Satan, who is a master and manipulating, distorting the truth of God. No to Satan, but you must say yes to the Lord Jesus. Sad to say, the Lord states, many there be that go in the rest. Few there be that find them. In the United States today, in the football stadiums, filled to capacity, thousands upon thousands of people, watching men running up and down chasing a ball. If you ask the same people about coming to hear the gospel of the grace of God, how many would respond? You see, men and women are blinded by the God of this age. Many there be that go in the rest. When it comes to a gospel meeting, how many respond? Few there be that find it. But thank God, beloved friends, it's possible for you and I to change direction at Calvary's intersection. That's where you make the change, at the place called Calvary. In Washington, D.C., we had meetings. A brilliant mathematician said to us one night, the plan of salvation is far too simple. I feel I must make some contribution. I took him to Revelation 22. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. He said, I see it now. This is an absolute gift from God. I must make that U-turn, he said that day. And he did make that U-turn. A change of direction. But it's also a change of condition. You see, the Bible tells us that we are born in sin. But the moment we are converted, we become saints. Now, it's sad to say we don't act like saints sometimes. But in the final analysis, God says that we are saints. For the saints which are in Christ Jesus, wrote the Apostle Paul to the people in Philippi. The sinner becomes a saint. The unsaved become saved. And the lost are found. It's a change of condition. One of the most violent men that ever lived was Saul of Tarsus, we saw the other night. Aided and abetted in murder. But he became beloved of the Lord. The sinner became a sinner. The moment we are conducting. Change of direction. Change of condition. And friend, let me endorse this morning, it's a change of destination. Again, the Lord Jesus, the speaker, strive to enter in at the straight gate. God is the way, wide is the gate, God is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in the rest. Down in that place called hell, it's a place of destruction. But heaven is a place of delight. None of us deserve ever to be in heaven. For the Lord Jesus, he set upon us his love. It was love that led him to Gethsemane, or Judas there could find him. It was love that nailed him to the tree, or iron there could bind him. It was love that died, with endless life to bless us. Well hast thou won my blood-bought bride. Worthy art thou, Lord Jesus. And the final message in the Revelation tells us that we'll either be in the city, heaven, or out. Those who will be in are those who are converted. And those who are out are those that reject the Lord Jesus. So it's a solemn issue this morning. We must challenge our foundation to find out where we will spend eternity. Either with the Lord in glory, the Sovereign of the skies,
or station in the pit. Where will you spend eternity? Conversion demanded. And the speaker is the Lord Jesus. The subject is conversion. But notice the simplicity. Except he be converted and become like a little child. You know, adults try to put on a veneer. They're very religious. They're just not as evil as those that roll in the gutter in Skid Row. Arrogance, pride. But children invariably are marked by simplicity and sincerity. Yes, except he be converted and become like a little child. Tell it as it is. Lord, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I think I mentioned this before. There are 12 gates into that celestial city, north, south, east, and west. And there are more souls come into that celestial city by the east gate, the rising of the sun, in childhood. And all this, the hardening process of sin, makes us put off, put off, put off. Although thank God I did see a man saved, 98 years of age, in Parker Farm, Florida. 98 years of age. He wanted me to baptize him. Discussed it with the brethren. I got him into the tank, into the swimming pool. I said, Warren, what think ye of Christ? He pointed his finger upward. He said, he is top. And that's not the language of John Nelson Darby or William Kelly. But I knew what he meant. He is top. He died at 102 years of age. Warren Height. Oh, the mercy of the Lord. That's the simplicity. Come and tell the Lord that you are a sinner. No argument. Tell it as it is. And here with the seriousness, not only the speaker, the subject. The simplicity, but the seriousness. You will never be in heaven unless you ask him that. Shall not enter in to the kingdom of heaven. It's only those who are converted that will be in heaven. Conversion demanded. We read in the epistle to the Thessalonians, conversion demonstrated. This is how to be converted. And there are many avenues. We read those words that they turned to God. Various steps toward the right journey. They turned to God. From idol to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. They did not turn to a new church or to a new group of people. They turned to God. That is the ultimate. They turn to God. God uses various avenues to reach us to that one point. Turned to God. From idols. What is an idol? An idol is anything that keeps us from coming to God. An idol. The Lord says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? God is keeping on appealing and appealing for us to turn from our evil ways. There are those today and their idol is pleasure. Pleasure. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. We are told historically that he was a general Ithamo, the commander-in-chief of the Egyptian army. The adopted son of a king. Riches unparalleled. But he turned to God. The pleasures of Egypt, this is what he says. This is what the scripture says. And when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, here it is, the pleasure of sin for a season. Oh, there are pleasures in sin. That's what the Bible says. Pleasures in sin. But they're only for a season. The psalmist says, the 16th Psalm, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So friend, it's not only foolishness, but it's insanity to foster the pleasures of sin for a season and abandon the prices, the pleasures at God's right hand forevermore. That's what people are doing today. Tiernis Wilson, the beloved Tiernis Wilson of Angola said, I believe, he said, that the pleasures of the world is the number one idol of the day. Pleasures. There are others, and possessions are their idol. The accumulation of wealth. That has become the idol of many. A young lawyer came to the Lord Jesus, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord laid down a set of regulations. If thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and so on, and thy neighbor as thyself. He's all these things I have done from my youth upward. In other words, he strove to fulfill the law of Moses. All these things I have done from my youth upward. The Lord says, look, one thing thou lackest. Go sell thy goods, distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. He got the message. What was the response? He went away sorrowingly. He wasn't prepared to give up his possessions and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Possessions. What is idol? Then there was that farmer looked out and saw the golden grain blowing in the breeze. God had made his fields to produce a great harvest. And he looked at these old barns. They can't hold this great harvest. I'll pull them down. Build new. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods. He was addressing the long part of his body. I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. God says you're a fool. Thou fool. Tonight, today, thy soul shall be required of thee. Possessions left behind, and his soul went down to a lost eternity. Pleasures, possessions, and there's another idol, it's called popularity. Popularity. Pilate tried his utmost
to release the Lord Jesus. I find no fault in this man. They kept up the more saying, crucify him, crucify him. If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. And that was it. He would rather be a friend of Caesar than a friend of the Lord Jesus, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he condemned the Lord Jesus to die. And history tells us 6 months after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, Pilate committed suicide. Popularity. Having meetings in Martin Road in Detroit, a couple said to us one night, my lovely teenage daughter, so popular in the school, so attractive, they engaged her in everything relative to the school. And we're concerned. Very, very popular, lovely, red-haired teenager. That night my colleague spoke on, I am the door. And I finished the message that night. And the door was shut. Speaking of God, saying to Noah, Noah, I've had it, this is it. Come then all thy house into the ark. And God shut the door. A prayer meeting downstairs, a large gathering before and after each meeting. And she went downstairs to the prayer meeting. And then she flew up the stairs, threw her arms around me. I've known her since she was a little girl. She says, Uncle Neil, I want to get saved. I said, Laura, why do you want to get saved? She says, I don't want to be outside when that door is shut. You see, she had used her head. Except he be converted and may come like a little child. Love the Christian, married, has children today. She didn't want to be outside when that door was shut. Popularity can be an idol. Oh, these Thessalonians, notice it says they turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. In essence, they went to God. And that's the step that leads to conversion. And then they worked for God. Their testimony was spread abroad. Went to God. Worked for God. And waited for the Son of God. The living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. Be assured, friend, the Lord Jesus is coming back. Coming back. Maybe today. Because God's patience, I'm convinced, must be running out. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. If you're not saved, you'll be left behind. You think things are bad in the world today? The crime, the violence, the hatred. This will be like a Sunday school picnic compared with what it will be after Jesus comes. The praying church of God gone, the Holy Spirit gone. And there'll be absolutely no restraint whatever. And the violence and the crime is unthinkable. But that's what this book says. And Jesus is coming again. To conclude, conversion demanded, the Lord's demanding you to get converted. Demonstrate. Oh, we could keep you here to midnight talking about souls that have been saved and demonstrated in their life a change. In the last section, Acts 28. Conversion despise. They close off the ear. I don't want to hear it. They shut off the eye. I don't want to see it. And they close up the heart, lest they be converted. I trust, friend, in the gathering this morning, God knows your heart, that you won't close the ear to the speaker, not Neil Dougal, but the Lord Jesus. And you won't shut off the eye to the beauties of the Savior, that you will open up your heart to the Lord Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I might come in. I will come in. That is the authority that he has and the assurance that he can save you today. Israel was faced with a choice. Pilate thought, here is one way out. Here is Barabbas. Whom will I release unto you? This man, Jesus, or Barabbas? John's gospel says, and they all said, not just some, they all said, not this man, but Barabbas. The greatest benefactor that the nation ever had. He fed the hungry on the banks at Galilee. Thousands fed and 12 baskets left over. He fed the hungry. He gave sight to the blind. He touched the lepers. He raised the dead. And they would rather have Barabbas, the son of Abbas, than the son of God. What is your choice today, then? The son of Abbas, Barabbas, the son of God. And they would rather have a murderer than the Messiah. What is your choice? They would rather have a criminal than the Creator. What is your choice? You would rather have the unjust one than the just one. It's a sad thing when conversion is despised. And I've mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating. I was in New Jersey. A lady said to me, my brother-in-law has just sold his ice cream franchise for $80 million, possessions. I said, why don't you invite him out to the meeting tonight? Oh, she says, he's not interested in God's word or anything connected with it, period. A week later, I saw his death in the obituary column. $80 million. God. Conversion. Despise. Scottish coal miner was going to a meeting with his wife. Downside on the board, announcing the meetings, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. She said to her husband, my dear, I'm going to take the gift tonight. He says, I'll go for the wages. In Ayrshire, Scotland, they went down the coal mine the next day. Fall of stone and he was killed. Salvation despised. We've seen this so many times. People on the verge of accepting the Lord Jesus turn off, go their way, and sad to say, have gone into eternity. Lost forever. So friend, I appeal to you as I close. Be kind to your soul today. Don't leave the building unless you're absolutely sure that you're converted. We can look aside, take you aside, look at God's Word. It's not our purpose to force anybody into anything, but just to make sure that we will meet you on Canaan's happy shore. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee once again for giving us the luxury of being in this building to open up thy word and to present the gospel of thy sovereign grace. We appeal to you on behalf of any of our dear friends who are not sure, that they may absolutely sure today. As they leave, we pray thy richest blessing upon all. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can we sing in closing?